Well, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you be in the world. This is Ralph Kermit Winterode II with the Ralph Winterode Show, coming to you live out of Alaska. And I am deeply honored to have Dr. Judy Wood on. Are you there, Dr. Wood?
Yes, I'm here. Hello.
Yes. First of all, why don't you give us, because God, you've got so much stuff, your background. Why don't you give us a thing of your background here, so we have people have some understanding of your qualifications.
Experimental stress analysis using optical methods, which is using images to determine material properties or deformation of materials and so forth. And that's probably the thing that comes in the most handy. Bachelor's degree in civil engineering, master's degree in engineering science and mechanics, and a PhD in materials engineering science. So I'm very much into, you know, observation and how materials behave. And, of course, what happened at 9/11, like, wait, that's weird. What was that?
Where were you? Where have you taught before? What colleges?
Virginia Tech and Clemson University.
Okay. When you watched, she wrote a book, and this ought to be a New York bestseller. I mean, this is a true statement, right? You have done the only true forensic investigation of actually what happened at 9/11. Is that true?
Yep, a comprehensive forensic investigation of what happened. And before you can solve any problem, this is probably the most important thing I'll say tonight. Before you can solve a problem, you have to determine what happened, you know, what problem you're trying to solve. If you don't define the problem you're trying to solve, then you can't solve it.
Well, I happen to have a copy of it, and it's a 500-page hardbound, it's an amazing book. I don't even know how many hundreds or thousands of hours you put in putting this book together, but it's just an amazing book documenting things that nobody talks about, that are facts. It just shocks me today. It's like facts have no relevancy. I don't know. So anyway, I guess when you watched it, you determined that something didn't add up or something. What prompted you to write a book here?
Well, first of all, something happened, but I thought that I was naive and thought the grown-ups would take care of it. They'll do their job, I'll do my job. And then it came to a point where I realized the grown-ups weren't going to take care of it. And, you know, whose job is it to take care of it? Whose world is it? It's our world. Mm-hmm. And somebody needed to do it, and so I then dove into doing it.
So now we had, there's two twin towers. How tall are those towers anyway?
Approximately a quarter mile.
And how much to each one, how much material is there in each one of those?
Oh, about 500,000 tons each.
500,000 tons. That's a lot. They're mainly, were they basically made out of iron or concrete and iron or?
It was steel.
Steel.
A lot of steel. But they had other things. That wasn't just what they're made of. That was, you know, including the contents. But they're mainly a steel structure. And then they have concrete floors, so you have something to walk on. You know, floor pans.
When skyscrapers like this are engineered, are they engineered to withstand an airplane strike?
Oh, of course. You wouldn't have be allowed to build something like that in Manhattan. There's something called a importance factor. It's not just a safety factor, it's the multiplier of the safety factor. So if you're building this out in the middle of a cornfield in Iowa, then, you know, it wouldn't hurt anybody if it fell over, except the corn, you know. Sorry, corn. But you know, so it's not very important that it stands up. But in Manhattan, it's mighty important that it stands up, because it's going to take out all of southern Manhattan if it goes, it falls over.
Now, when the first visual that we see of apparently, allegedly, I'll say allegedly, an airplane struck the tower, which tower did it strike? Tower one?
Well, I call it an airplane-shaped hold. I don't have to make assumptions or guesses. It was, you know, this silhouette of passage like you see in Wile E. Coyote cartoons. But yeah. It was on the north side of the North Tower.
Okay, yeah, I saw the picture. It looked like the airplane in the Wile E. Coyote, you know, where you see that goes down the ground, and here's an airplane that's made out of what? flimsy aluminum and stuff, and supposedly it got into this tower and left the silhouette of an airplane.
Yeah, and you can't even carry fuel out the tip of the wing because it's not sturdy enough. It's, you know, this little 5-inch deep, you know, thin thing, and yet they had that cut and sliced through steel columns.
Well, don't you have in your book pictures of somebody standing in some of those in those holes or something there or whatever?
Yes, there are people standing in there. So obviously it wasn't hot because they didn't get burned up standing in there waving out.
So then the next thing we can assume that is true is that when the airplane hit, how long before, quote, the tower...
Don't reinforce assumptions.
Okay.
It's got an airplane-shaped hole that it acquired.
Okay, this hole, the hole, the first thing that we think, this hole appeared, however it got there, how long did that tower stand before it closed, did something?
Less than an hour.
So after the air, or this, whatever happened, it stood there for a whole hour, right?
Well, actually, that one stood a little bit longer. The second one was less than an hour, and the first one was a little bit more. So it was, it was 15 minutes between the two holes. And then it was, that was like 8:45 or so, and then it was a little bit before 10:30 when Tower 1 went poof.
So this defies all logic. If something hits something should happen immediately. It shouldn't.
Yeah, so about an hour or more later. It's an hour for South Tower, and then it was more than that for the North Tower.
Mm-hmm. So if we got 500 tons, went down. You got pictures of all of this debris. That should be one heck of a pile of debris.
Yeah, I think of the game Pickup Sticks. You know, when those fall, you get this random pile all over the place. You should, and the steel column should look something like that. But so, it was at ground level in most of the place. You could see, from east to west through the area at ground level, like where there was a fountain there. You could still see the fountain.
So obviously 500 tons of debris wasn't stacked on the ground then, right?
Well, and what do you call stacked? See, after some time, the dust kind of came out of the air and landed on the ground, but it didn't slam into the ground.
But if there had been 500,000 tons there should have been one big pile of, I don't know.
If it was solids.
Right, if it was all solids, right.
Yeah.
Except that isn't what happened, is it?
Right. The biggest thing that got me is, you know, this is a, here's some easy math. Let's round things off. The tower is about 1/4 mile tall.
Mm-hmm.
And rule of thumb for the world record is around a 4-minute mile for running,
mm-hmm.
which means in 1/4 mile in 1 minute at world record pace.
Right.
So if that guys, if you turn the tower sideways in your mind, have him running from one end to the other, it would take him a minute to cover that distance.
Okay.
But it was the tower went away in about 8 to 10 seconds, 8 for one and about, you know, a little bit longer for the other, that the ground shook.
How does it seem possible?
Now, another exercise you can do is 110 stories. If they're falling, clap, clap, you know, one, 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 how fast can you clap your mm-hmm. hands? If they're supposedly pancaking down, I don't think you can clap, 110 times in 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm. So, with this, something
happened. That's what got my attention.
There's videos on your Where Did the Towers Go? On your thing, you got pictures of these girders or these steel that they're turning to dust as they're falling, right?
Right. Right, and there's a picture where these guys come out of their hiding places after Tower 1 goes away, and they're standing there with their hands on their hips, their arms folded, and just looking. You know their jaws hanging open, like, where is the building? And you don't see any steel columns in front of them. That's at the corner of Vesey and West.
Well, I think in your book, don't you have some TV news guy or something? He's looking at it, too, and he's scratching his head.
There's a bunch of them. There's in the cleanup the next day. There's Peter Jennings. I think it's ABC studio, and he's asking George Stephanopoulos, who's there to tell everybody what's going on, and so here's George says, "Well, Peter, I've been asking folks that. One volunteer, Robert Gerlinski, explained it all fell down into the ground, was pulverized, evaporated."
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you have to feel sorry for him because he's there on the ground in New York trying to tell the world what's going on, and that's the best he can do.
Mm-hmm. So now one of the things that you looked at, seismic-type stuff, is that's a well-documented scientific means to – I mean, that's not a new science, right, seismic stuff?
Right. And there's other buildings that, you know, when they – like controlled demolition, what you'd expect – you have, you know, in, with controlled demolition, chunks go flying. When they hit the ground, there's a seismic signal, or the equivalent of a seismic signal. And some of it travels through the earth, you know, when it's like hitting a tuning fork with a hammer. Mm-hmm. And then some of it's a surface wave. And based on the surface wave, they generate the equivalent of a seismic signal, their strength.
So
the Richter scale.
Look at the seismic...
There wasn't any detectable S or P wave. It's like the tuning fork didn't get hit.
I'm not sure I understand the difference between the waves you're talking about here.
Oh, the S and P waves. They travel. One's a shear wave, one's a longitudinal pulse wave, the primary wave, and they travel differently through the Earth, and based on the difference, the different ways they travel through the Earth. And what medium they're in, they can tell how far away the epicenter is. And that's how they determine where the earthquake happened.
Okay. Because
they have various signals to different seismic stations. But you didn't have those waves. There were no S wave or P waves that were detected in any of the events in Manhattan that day.
So what does that tell us?
It didn't slam to the ground. It wasn't a kinetic energy event.
Okay, when you checked the seismic stuff, what did it look like? How much slam or what?
There was only a surface wave, and it was far less than you'd expect, especially for Building 7. It was Building 7 was like a jackhammer would, you know, the equivalent of that, but it mm-hmm. wasn't like a big building falling. Now, the Seattle Kingdom, when they blew it up, you know, controlled demolition, it made the equivalent of a 2.3 on the Richter scale.
Mm-hmm.
Building 7 is 6 times that potential energy, and it only made a 0.6 on the Richter scale.
And this was a building that, if I remember correctly, I've got videos that looked like the material was just going out horizontal out of the building.
Yeah, it was a 47-story building. And towers 1 and 2 is a 2.1 to 2.3 on the Richter scale, and they're like 30 times, that's 3 times 10, times the potential energy of the kingdom. It was even the surface wave wasn't appropriate, but there's no S wave or P wave, and that's the puzzling part. The building did not slam to the ground.
So what did the seismic thing tell us about the towers 1 and 2?
If King Kong grabbed the towers and chucked it in outer space, would have just took the weight off the ground,
mm-hmm.
you're it's like getting off your mattress in the morning. You create a surface wave from removing that weight.
Uh-huh.
And that appears to be all that was recorded.
What did that surface wave tell you about how much weight was lifted off?
Well, you don't know that, but what it says is that it lasted for 8 seconds. And in a vacuum, it takes 9.5 seconds for a bowling ball dropped off the roof to have it hit the ground. In a vacuum. So it's going to be slower in air.
So this is definitely outside any realm of anything that we would think as what we would term with what, demolition?
Yeah, and not by natural causes or by bombs in the building or things like that, because still bombs just blow chunks, and the chunks still have to land.
Mm-hmm.
But this shows that the building was not put into chunks that landed on the ground.
I think
it was turned into powder.
Well, I think you have a video too of something where these people were being interviewed, and Building 7 is going away behind them, and there's not even any enough sound to even get their attention.
Right. Is this one Barbara Crowley on West Highway, and she's yeah, the building's behind her, and she's talking. We need supplies. People need food. They need, you know, she's trying to set up triage, and I'm worried about that. She's a medical worker, and then suddenly the audience gasps. You like that? And what? She has no idea what they're gasping about. And the cameraman, even in one video, says, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa," because he sees the building going down. If you didn't see it, you wouldn't know it. And she didn't even know what was going on when they gasped.
Wow. And this is a 47-story building.
Yep. It's about two blocks from it. And, you know, when you see controlled demolitions, the conventional controlled demolitions, you hear bang, 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 bang. This starts to fall in, and then that's bang, 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 and then that part falls in. It falls in parts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the truthers recently hired an engineer at a university. You know, you get what you pay for, right? To do a finite element model. Don't know why they couldn't do it. I guess they weren't capable. They hired some graduate students to do a finite element model of the building. But first of all, it's a model of something they've imagined. It's not evaluating what did happen.
Right.
But anyway, there was trying to see if they could prove that it was destroyed by bombs in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to read the conclusion. From the conclusion, it says, it is our conclusion, based upon these findings, that the collapse of WTC-7 was a global failure involving the near-simultaneous failure of all columns in the building, not a progressive collapse involving the sequential failure of columns throughout the building.
So everything just all went like that?
Yep. That's not a controlled demolition. Controlled demolition is bang, 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 you know, sequences. You get this part to fall in on that part, that falls in on that part, and they have it timed as when the various charges go off. This, the whole building failed, every part of the building failed at once. In other words, it was dustified.
Right. Just there's nothing there. Just
right.
Kind of like in a movie. One way.
Yep. Yep.
We got two callers here. Let's see for
okay,
you.
Okay, great.
Murray in Wisconsin, you got a question or a comment for Dr. Judy Wood?
Yeah, hi Judy and Ralph. This is my second time getting to talk to you. This is great.
Oh, yeah.
In 1 year.
Oh, wow.
Hey, and I'm so glad, Ralph, you asked her about her abilities there, you know, because, and then John Hutchison is self-taught, but she's amazingly, uniquely qualified for what she's done. And no one wants to, you know, we have people that are majors in philosophy trying to say that she's wrong and they have nothing to do with this type of information. But also in the book, and I have it right here in front of me, Where Did the Towers Go? I know you don't make any money off it, but let me just tell you quick my story of getting my copy. I went to a little local bookseller because I thought any extra money I'd want to go to them. Well, they didn't get anything out of it. Amazon, way overcharged, took a long time, and broke the spine of the book. And it's printed in China.
Geez.
You might not be able to get a copy, people. It's coming from China.
Yeah, it's, it might run out soon, but it's it would cost, just for printing alone, would cost like $150 a copy each for just the printing, if it was done in the U.S.
Right.
And then you have the shipping on top of that, you know, where it gets trucked to the storage, and you have to pay storage wherever it is, and, you know, it's prices go up. But I tried to keep the price down as low as possible.
Yes, well,
it's
you did,
500,
but Amazon.
This is a college textbook. It's high-quality paper, quality picture,
full color.
And I told you before, too, winter before last, when I was snowed in here and it was 60 below wind chill and I had no communication, I'm all snuggled in with books. And I went through yours again with a magnifying glass very thoroughly. It was very, very enjoyable to really pick out the details and to appreciate how you went through all of that material to select those particular photographs. And you also surmised in there, just a kind of questioning, and I had the same question, that the entire structures were built, designed for something like this. And this is how evil...
Yeah, they're designed to...
Evil this. Yeah.
They're designed to also to sway in the breeze, like a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, trees are have concentric circles. Well, the same with the outer core and the inner core. It was made, mm-hmm. It was inspired by tree design.
Yeah, I think I told you, too, I was on top of number two in the 90s, and it did sway. They didn't let us out on the balcony because of the too
people
windy.
People might get scared of that, but it's perfectly natural. It's normal, and it's okay. It was built for that.
Yeah, to take that up. And also, Anthony Patch pointed out that it's the top of those were just the right height to be in line with the particle collider in Brookhaven. So there's another weapon.
I don't get into, things like that. I just try to stay straight with the evidence and see what the evidence tells you, not what you know in addition to the evidence.
Let me interrupt here, too, Dr. Judy Wood. Did you not file a lawsuit on this issue?
Well, because of NIST didn't investigate the demise of the buildings.
And did you identify two companies that actually would have had the knowledge of who had this technology?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And they probably know who did it. ARA and SAIC, the two main companies that were contractors on the NIST report. And they are developers and manufacturers of energy weapons.
Yeah, why don't you give the full name instead of the abbreviation?
Applied Research Associates, ARA, and SAIC is Science Application International Corporation. And you
appealed this to the Second Circuit, and they weren't allowed. They were.
It's interesting. They said, they had to ignore the law in order to dismiss the case.
Right. Too hot to handle.
But they're honest.
You cease being wrong or you cease being honest. One of the two, right?
Yeah, and they're honest, and I admire them for that. But only at that moment did I realize, wait a minute, this is too big for the courts. They don't want to get justified on the way home. I started to point out a couple of days ago, but my internet went down in the middle of the show, and that's when I got to this, that Applied Research Associates had on their website that they were weaponizing tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I filed that legal case, it disappeared off their website. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still have a copy of it, but I've got to put it on my home page, by the way.
It's interesting that, people don't stop and think about tornadoes, but if you could create one at will, wherever you wanted, I mean, that's a pretty nasty weapon.
Yep. Well, same thing with monitoring or steering hurricanes, which apparently Erin, E-R-I-N, who has been downgraded on NOAA's website now. See, that's the thing. There's just so much corruption. And I really do think this president is trying to get at it, and it's just such a mess. This mega MEGA group,
MAGA.
Well, MAGA is MAGA, that's him, but MEGA is this other group, this cabal. And a doctor in Russia in 2001 was warning about it, and she's the one that told Putin, you have to get God back. That's what's wrong here, okay?
Yeah.
And they're the same group that Whitney Webb is now exposing again, and a lot of it has to do with sacrificing children and all the rest.
Yeah, I don't like to get so much into that. I like to stick with what undeniable evidence, and that stands alone by itself. And then you can go there to other things. And it becomes so important to be able to look at what happened instead of assuming what happened. We're so geared to making assumptions based on beliefs. Humans are good at that. I was thinking of a good analogy is maybe crossword puzzles. If you make a mistake, and one of those words that you absolutely are sure you have the right word, and so the one that goes across that one won't fit, even though that one's the right one, because you're so sure that the first one was correct.
Yeah,
and
but like
it's
you
hard
said.
To... It's hard to go back and say and start over and see anew of what's really there. That's probably not the best example, but The Kobe Bryant thing, the pilot believed something, and he wouldn't look at the evidence that he could determine to see if he was high enough.
Well, that's like Fukushima. They you know, had the digital dials, and they should have kept the analog because that's where the trouble arose. But what, how, who, and why, in that order? Now, more recently, somebody that knows better is writing, oh, you know, Judy Wood and Gage are saying that they just want to go what and how. They don't want to say who and why. Well, you don't do who and why first. You have to have what and how first.
Right.
I think Mark Twain had a good saying for it. It is not what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that's not so. And that's the world we live in.
Bingo. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, he was also credited with it's easier to fool the people than to convince them they've been fooled.
Right. Yep. I got a couple other callers. You got any other questions?
All right, thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, Rosalind in Minnesota, you're up next. Question or comment for Dr. Judy Wood? Hello?
I'm sorry, I'm here, yes, but I did not come on to ask a question. I just dialed in to listen to Judy, which is very interesting.
Thank you. We'll go to the next person. Okay, Dr. Kelly in California, you had a question or comment?
Thank you so much for your work, Judy. This is my first introduction to you and your work because of the suppression, obviously. But I would love to get your book in our local public library system, and I would like to suggest that for all the listeners.
Hold on a minute. We got to go to break. We'll be back in a second.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Extend your life with Extendovite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalized blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We're back here, and Dr. Kelly, you had a question or a comment for Dr. Judy Wood?
Oh, yeah, and I wanted to thank you, Ralph, so much for picking such a stellar guest and a topic to cover this, and that I think
that all
public libraries should have a copy of your book available. And I've been reading through, bits at a time, the human radiation experiments and, you know, studying the radiological warfare and things that have gone on in this country for, you know, decades and pretty much a century of experimentation on people. And so thank you for taking your approach to it. You know, this is my first introduction to you, and I'm really fascinated. And something has stuck out in the human radiation experiments. I'm a retired X-ray supervisor operator here in California, and I spoke to Rosalind Peterson back in the, like, a decade ago. And this 20-day dissolving metal has caught my attention, and so I want to research it a little bit more. And I'm wondering if you would comment further on just your basic sciences and the documentary evidence, both visual, auditory, seismic, and or other. And I'm wondering if there is a way to measure those different wavelengths and frequencies and values. I found on the NOAA .gov weather site that there's a radio frequency RF purple indicated on the storm loop velocity window that you open up when you're checking local weather alerts. And I noticed some strange hurricane-ish things land coming out of like Beale Air Force Base.
Have you read my book?
No, I haven't. Oh. But I to get it for the local public and then, you know, read it first and then get it for the rest of the folks because they need it.
I suggest reading it front to back, you know, straight through three times. You pick up more each time, and things are written such that it doesn't slap you in the face until you're ready for it.
Oh, absolutely.
There's information like that. It's very carefully written. But there's a hurricane. Did you know about the hurricane on 9/11?
No. I have just noticed them locally doing my own nerdy research.
Chapter 18 is about the hurricane, and the outer bands were right over the end of Long Island. It had been headed towards Manhattan for 4 days, a Category 3 hurricane. And then it comes right up to, you know, the end of Long Island, then just stops. And then in the morning of 9/11, then that afternoon turns around and heads out of town.
That is so amazing. Thank you so much for your work. I'm really excited. I can't wait to read it, and I will read it at least three times, I promise. And God bless you guys.
Also, I highly recommend for people to go to wheredidthetowersgo.com. Got an amazing, I just started my homepage, by the way, if you want to see some stuff, a thing on global warming or on abortions or pedophilia. I've got some videos on my, I've just started, AlaskaMinuteman.com. I'm putting out the real stuff documented, and I'm going to get Dr. Judy Wood's homepage on there, but wheredidthetowersgo.com.
It's also Dr. Judy Wood.com.
She has a homepage I am envious of.
Yes, drjudywood.com is the regular page, and it has, you know, the old stuff there, too, of all of the images and stuff that, as I was collecting them. But that's drjudywood.com. But to get the book, it's wheredidthetowersgo.com. And or you can find it on Amazon. But I talk about, you might be interested in the talk about tritium in there.
Oh, beautiful, yes, absolutely. And see, the library is really great here. They got The Invisible Rainbow by Arthur Furstenberg, and, you know, they get all the far-out books I require, and it's a beautiful thing. So thank you again.
I have a chart on the tritium found at the World Trade Center, and also the amount of tritium that you get with cold fusion tests, or what they call cold fusion, which is low-energy nuclear reactions. And then you have various sorts, and you can size it up yourself.
Thank you so much.
That I thought was just amazing, and you can, Dr. Judy, would expand on this, is this process that got started didn't just stop immediately, did it?
Right. It wasn't self-quenching.
That was the word I was thinking of. It wasn't self-quenching. Explain that, because this is really an important concept.
Like when they did the first nuclear test, the people who did it knew that they didn't know if it was self-quenching. Fortunately, it was. But otherwise, you know, you're unraveled. Whoops, there goes the planet. But this was not self-quenching. It continued on. And like building, so across from building two is Bankers Trust. It was infected, and they damaged a little bit on the front of it, and they repaired the damage, but it continued deteriorating, and they ended up having to take the building down after they repaired it. You know, because they saw from the test that, you know, the dust test samples in there, that it was not going to stop. And there's various other things there that, like the dust that lands, I call it fuzzballs. I use non-regular terms that just describe what you see so that you can focus on what's going on rather than name dropping. So the dust lands and you're looking from east to west, clear blue sky, and then you notice the dust starts rising up off the ground. From that, you know that this is the same day, later in the day, that it was coarse dust that landed and then became fine dust. Otherwise, it wouldn't have fallen out completely out of the sky to make a clear air.
And then why were they bringing in all those trucks and hauling all that stuff away? I thought
the dirt goes in, the dirt goes out. They brought in dirt trucks, rich dirt, dumped it down, stirred around, then haul it back out and bring in another loads of dirt at the ground, below ground level. And that's kind of what you do for chemical spills.
Dilute it, you know, dilution, containment, encapsulation, sort of.
And what was interesting is I went there soon afterwards, and when they're hauling the dirt out, here comes the truck out, and they change drivers right after the guy drives it out, and that guy goes back inside. So the people driving the truck to and from wherever it's going aren't the people who are inside the perimeter of the... They hand off the truck and put a different driver in.
So they know there's some contamination, some sort of a contamination in there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite interesting. But the for the next year, the dirt was going in and out.
Well, also, it didn't look like a regular demolition. There's all kinds of dust, and then it settles.
Right, and down to ground level, and you could, from east to west, you could look through the complex, like where the fountain had been, you know, right at ground level, from east to west. And there was, you know, three or four stories left of the central core of the North Tower, and that was it. A little bit of some outer walls that looked like wheat checks. One of the photographers called it wheat checks, and so I've taken on that term.
Well, how about all that dust that's headed up to the atmosphere? What's going on there? I mean, that when they do demolitions or to building, they don't, nothing like that happens.
Right. It usually doesn't go above the tallest point of the original building. But this, it went up and up and further up. And that's actually how I found the hurricane. I went, like, where is that dust going? Let me go get a satellite image and see where the dust goes. And it kept going up. But wait, what's that over there? That looks like a hurricane.
Oh, my goodness. I had no idea, but it's so cool that you covered all of those factual, environmental, structural factors.
The magnetometer data is even more interesting. Right when the demise of the building, you see the magnetometer go wacky.
Oh, awesome. Thank you so much again.
Dr. Judy Wood, explain what that means.
Oh, it's the Earth's magnetic field, and actually it was from Alaska. I got the best set of measurements over a long period of time, and I plotted them out, and by golly, you can see right when the demise of a building happens, all of the values start just going diving down, and they abruptly start going back up right when the building went poof. And then you see them do it for the next building, and then they're all haywire all afternoon until Building 7 went poof. And then back to normal, pretty much.
Which is not associated with any sort of a demolition of any type, period.
Right. I like to kind of joke, it's sort of a sarcasm about it, but there's argument about, the seismic people have one time that the demise of the North Tower happened. Another one has the cameraman say something else, and they're, several seconds off. And I joke and say, well, I can tell you which one's right. Based on the magnetometer data.
Beautiful. Yeah, I'd like
and that,
to find...
Because that peak is right in the middle of all these other unknown, there's three or four other values that are, clustered, and this is right in the middle of those.
What's even more amazing, how many buildings went down that day?
Well, that down, buildings that were destroyed that day was everything with a WTC prefix.
Which is how many?
Yeah. Seven. WTC 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 were destroyed. There's some parts of it left, but like Building 3, it got this big bite out of it when Tower 2 went poof. And then later when Tower 1 went poof, the rest of it went away, except for one or two stories at the south end. It was like a little shoebox. Mm-hmm. And there's an interesting story about that. When Tower 2 went poof, that was the first one, Well, just before then, this firefighter was walking along the 22nd floor, which is the top floor of Building 3, and was trying to clear everybody out. And then he got to the end of the hall and turned around, and he said the hall behind him just disappeared. And there's a lawyer who was working, didn't want to get interrupted before his case was going to be heard in court that day, and was just, everyone said evacuate. No, he was staying there, wasn't going to let anything disturb him. But when the firefighter yanked him out after the building went poof, the firefighter, said, let's go. Okay, and they started going down the stairs. And they had just gotten down to the first floor when the North Tower went poof and took out the rest of the building. They had just made it down. They looked up at blue sky.
Now, let me ask you this. If this Hurricane Irwin had came into New York, Aaron, what would have happened to New York?
If it even stayed where it was for a few more hours, you would have had all sorts of storm surge and lower Manhattan would have been flooded. The thing I point out, I'm not speculating on whether they control weather or not. I'm asking the question is, how could they be so sure what the hurricane was going to do that they didn't warn anybody in Manhattan? Because usually they say, well, just in case the hurricane comes this way, it's not mandatory evacuation, but it's, by choice right now. And then if it gets closer, then they turn it to mandatory one. But they didn't, you have a lot of people in Manhattan that you wouldn't be able to get, several million people out of town in moments' notice.
Do they normally have hurricanes that go that far north up around New York?
It's been known to happen, but it's kind of unusual that it would go right inland that right there. But the point being, to be so sure that the hurricane wasn't going to come inland or hurt anybody, to not mention it much on the news, mm-hmm. The CBS morning weather, it was like 10 to 15 minutes before the North Tower got its hole. You know, everything was perfectly normal up to that point. The map says as nice as can be over New York for the weather.
Now, when the, because New York basically sits right at basically at water level, right?
Right. Is it Manhattan's right at water level.
Okay.
So any storm surge, you would have flooded it.
They got something called a bathtub that they actually, these twin towers actually set in something kind of like a bathtub. That how many stories down does that go?
About 7 stories at least. Yeah, and that was sort of a reverse of a bathtub. It held the water table out to keep the downstairs dry. And there's a train or subway, kind of like a subway that went underneath the Hudson River that came up into the bottom of the bathtub. So there's a tunnel under the Hudson that comes up into the bathtub, and would you believe there was nobody sprung a leak there?
If all of this 500 tons, right?
Yep.
500,000 tons, right?
500,000 tons for each tower.
If that had fell down in the bathtub,
it should have ruptured it.
It'd have been gone, right?
And not only that. In the days afterwards, when they brought in earth moving equipment to dig out what was in there, they soon realized they need to set up special rules because the earth moving equipment was putting too much pressure on the ground and starting to mash in the walls, starting to damage the walls. So they, no earth moving equipment could be X number of feet from another one, and they had to be on these wooden platforms that distributed the load and all sorts of things because. Like Liberty Street started getting a crack in it from the earth moving equipment sitting on it because now the bathtub walls were not supported and they could easily move inward.
And that equipment is nothing compared to 500,000 tons of
yep.
material. It's
yep.
like a drop in a bucket. So you know right there something's rotten in Denmark again, right?
Yeah, the building did not slam to the ground. I've got pictures in my book of right underneath Building 4. That's where it looks like the top of Building 2 was going to topple over. But obviously it didn't. It turned to dust without slamming into Building 4 because one story below ground, these firefighters are looking for survivors. They're walking down. There's a mall there, and they're walking down through the mall, and you can see Hallmark cards, Innovation luggage. You see right where they were in there.
Now, you attribute this to what, directed energy type technology?
Well, it's something directed the energy to do something differently than it normally does. It gave it instructions to do something differently. And as a mental image, think of how atoms are attracted to each other, like for making up a piece of steel. Think if they got the instructions or direction to suddenly reverse their polarity. So instead of being attracted to each other, they suddenly were repelling each other. And all the material just started coming apart.
I think one of the other amazing things is you've got pictures in there of these girders and iron. These things are twisted up like pretzels or...
Without cracks. No cracks in them.
Yeah, it's hard to
play. The best piece of data came out after the book got published, and I didn't put it in there, but a piece of a Bible artifact. It's in the museum, the 9/11 museum. The Pope even visited this Bible artifact. It has what appears to be a re-solidified liquid metal that had rolled down the page. But the paper isn't burned.
Is your property wow.
Financial burden and causing you grief? Yeah, it wasn't liquid because it was hot. It was liquid for a different reason.
To sell your property. Don't worry. Are we going to break here?
We buy properties as is with cash.
I'm here.
Close in 30 days and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Hey, honey, I'm home.
I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
I got Dr. Judy Wood here on, and I got an amazing book, Where Do the Towers Go? It's just an amazing book about 911, the only forensic investigation done. The government didn't do one.
No, they surprisingly just brought about a hypothetical possible, you know, model. It seems when things go wrong, it comes down to models. When people try to model something, why don't just look at what is, instead of trying to model what you imagine something to be. And I called them on it, and they agreed that they didn't investigate the collapse or destruction of the building.
How can that be? You say this is impossible.
How can it satisfies people. How else? You can't come up with a report about the evidence without coming to the right conclusion. So you just do this hypothetical. Most report was spent, you know, how many beams are in the building, what manufacturer they got them from, and then how they put the beams together, and, you know, stuff that is irrelevant to what destroyed the buildings.
Right. So we got these people that can't even hardly fly a single engine airplane. Somehow they got all this magical power to make all this stuff happen. You betcha. Absolutely. Sign me up.
Or how did a Wile E. Coyote cutout happen in the building?
Right. Yeah.
actually, I've got a live radio broadcast from that day, and the guy leans down, turns on the TV to see what's happening, and then the guy on the TV set, you know, is saying he's now on the ground, and he come up, and then an airplane shaped hole. In other words, his first reaction was like you would be with a Wile E. Coyote cartoon.
Why
do we laugh? Because it's impossible.
That's right. Airplanes are made out of the wings out there. There's nothing there, folks. Nothing compared to what's in the steel in the building. This don't happen that way.
And also, the plane supposedly went in an angle. If it does, you know, the closer wing hits first, and when the plane would swing around and flip the tail off.
You'd think.
Yeah. But I instead looked at what happened to the building. That didn't happen to the buildings. Whether you believe in the planes or don't believe in the planes, if they're real or imagined, doesn't matter. Planes, real or imagined, cannot turn buildings, most of the building, into powder in midair.
No.
And so that's what I was focusing on, what happened to the buildings.
Something got cut off there. We went to break, I think. That's really important. We were talking about how some of these beams and thrusters and stuff, this stuff is twisted around like pretzels or something.
Or that Bible artifact that had the re-solidified metal on it without burning the page. So you know it wasn't liquid because it was hot. It was liquid for a different reason.
Right, because otherwise the paper would have been gone, right?
Right. You try getting hot molten metal, you know, 1,000 degrees and dump it on there.
I think you've got pictures of people walking and other stuff like that in your book, don't you?
Yeah, and also people in Tower 1, there was 14 people who walked out. There was even a couple above them who survived, even though the building around them didn't. They land on top of the pile. But they're in Stairway B, third, fourth, and so floor, and everything went dark when the dust went up and blocked out all the sun. Then when the dust cleared, they could look up and see blue sky and then walked out.
Just can't make that stuff up, can you? I mean, because it's people don't. It's just frustrating to me that when things that are so far out there, they just go to this. They look at the one thing. I saw an airplane, so therefore that's the reason. Or we got this idiot Gage comes along with, oh, it's what? Thermite. Right. Back in a minute.
Hear ye, ConstitutionOnTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to ConstitutionOnTrial.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.